Time to get ready.
Of course. Ready for what?
It's the big interview. Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
Get ready to feel the thunder.
Long chats with big brains meant to give you a better view of the big picture.
As far as brains go, I got the lion's share.
As money life goes big time.
Big reason for this success is you.
Literally.
That's right, and of course, the big issue of, well, yesterday, or maybe this week, really, when it comes to the markets, was the Fed. And when it comes to the Fed, there's nobody we like talking with more than Doug Roberts. He's chief investment strategist at Channel Capital Research. He is the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success, and we tend to follow him on the show, or we tend to follow every significant Fed meeting on with a chance to chat with Doug on the show. If you want to learn more about the book, about his firm, about what he's saying, you want to check out some of his commentaries, go to channelcapitalresearch.com. Don't be shy about following him on Twitter, where he is at Doug S. Roberts. But right now he's here, and I'm pleased to say, Doug, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks very much, Chuck. Always a pleasure to be here and to talk with you as well.
You know, to me, I read the news coming out of the Fed yesterday and said, okay, it's not like any of the changes are big, but we've been talking to a lot of people on the show and coming up with a pretty wide range of opinions about when the Fed would actually raise rates and what would happen. If I had to sum up the changes, I think we got an idea that the Fed is going to raise rates probably a little sooner than a lot of our guests were thinking. But by the time we get out to where everybody was kind of saying, yeah, rates would be up, well, they're not going to be as high as maybe people were expecting. So I thought a sooner launch, but a lower trajectory.
I think it's more the fact that the trajectory is the more important issue, because whether they raise rates in September or in December, if at that point it's kind of like one and done for a little bit, then, you know, the trajectory becomes much lower. And that's essentially what they're talking about. And something that also is a big factor that really nobody's talking about is next year is election year. So with election year, the Fed is very hesitant, unless we have a booming kind of like super duper economy, or inflation, you know, kind of turns its head and goes full scale in the opposite direction. They're hesitant to really raise rates as you get closer to the election. So I think if you're looking at a rate rise next year, you're talking about really spring, maybe early summer, and that's it. And the way they're talking about it is it might be one, then wait a meeting or two. So literally what you may be talking about is at least through the end of 2016, unless the economy really perks up and changes substantially in a positive direction, is you could have maybe one to two rate increases where you're talking maybe 25 to 50 basis points. That may not necessarily be significant if all other things remain equal in terms of derailing the economy. It could be enough to really slow down the market and cause problems along those lines, though.
Why, in your opinion, would it slow down the market at this point? Truthfully, a year ago, I was heading off to the Morningstar Investor Conference where I kept hearing from people going, well, the market's going to crack if the Fed raises rates. But now the Fed has done everything about telegraphing its intentions. Hasn't this been priced in to where if the Fed raises rates, the market just kind of is going to yawn and go, yeah, kind of what we expected?
Distinctly possible, but the real question is it going to go anywhere? It could just bounce around back and forth where it's what it's really been doing for the last several months. And in that situation, it could be more and more like that during the rate raising process. It's, you know, as I say, all things getting equal, and I think we have to deal with that, other things being equal, as a factor later on in our discussion. But right now, if all things remain equal, if rates are rising, the stock market may just bounce up and down kind of like a little ball floating on the water. Sometimes it goes below the water if there's a wave, and sometimes it pops above the water. But it may not really change too much. You have to remember that part of what, you know, has driven the rally is the fact that we've encouraged risk, that essentially they've basically lowered interest rates so much that a lot of people who are looking, particularly retirees, and that was alluded to in the discussions on the FOMC conference call, is that retirees really have no alternative unless they want to decrease their lifestyle substantially, except to go into the equity markets, whether they be dividend-paying stocks or high-yield stock, high-yield stocks, something along those lines where they can get a definite return that they can live on. If they're going to go strictly in terms of shorter-term, in essence, bonds, they're going to have to radically change what they're living on. Now, once you start raising rates, that becomes a viable alternative for a lot of people in terms of what's going on. It also means that, let's say, you might experience somewhat of a multiple contraction. Now, again, if we're talking about the gradual trajectory that we've been alluding to, it may not necessarily do too much. It may just create some volatility, a small correction, let's say 5 to 6, 7%. And then really, if you kind of go away for a couple of months, come back, you see, in the words of the French, no différence. The real question becomes is things may not be equal. And that's really the next subject that we have to discuss.
Well, let's get there. I mean, things not being equal, among the things that nobody can sort of look at right now and assume the status quo is going to remain would be Greece. And the Greek situation, which a couple of years ago, everybody was worried about how Greece was going to sort of blow up the world's economy or at the very least Europe's economy. Well, that crisis was averted. But the next potential thing where Greece could throw everything into a cocked hat involves whether or not it's going to stick with the euro and what have you. So when you take a look at that, how does any of that play out in what the Fed might do next?
I think right now the Fed is betting, and a lot of other people are betting, that it will be successfully resolved or the impact will be minimal. I guess if you go to game theory, they're assuming that everybody is going to behave quite logically. But how they behave is based on the assumptions that are going on. A lot of the people in the Greek government right now have come from an academic background or from, shall we say, a non-conventional institutional background of European finance. So they may be thinking very, very differently from a lot of the EU technocrats. And, their bet is that essentially either Greece will survive if the problem, happens, or at that point, in a poker game, they hold the stronger hand. Now, whether that happens or not, we're not really sure, but the European Union technocrats who are on the opposite side of those negotiations are thinking quite differently. Now, again, all of this is kind of a moot point if it happens in an orderly manner. The danger is it happens in a disorderly manner, and essentially it starts triggering some other problems in other countries in the European Union. Then you have really a major, liquidity crisis again. And then you have to understand that in Europe, the transparency is not quite what you have here in the United States. You have to remember that the problems really 2007, 2008 with AIG, excluding, the results of the case that we've seen recently, developed in an offshore subsidiary of AIG. And former Chairman Ben Bernanke said that when AIG came to him and said that essentially, unless you give us some assistance, many entities in the financial system are going to be insolvent, he was almost shocked because he had no alternative, yet at the same time he had minimal awareness of what was going on. You could be in a similar situation there, and that's really the danger that happens, is a domino effect starts to occur, and then the Fed doesn't react quickly enough. And right now, essentially, the tightening that's being done by the Fed, first with unconventional programs, and now increasingly we're starting with conventional programs, has been really offset by quantitative easing in the European Union and by the various central banks across the world. If you have something that's a trigger event that causes problems, the danger is they may eventually be able to deal with it, but you could have a very, very serious correction or downturn in this process. I'm not saying it's going to be something like 2007, 2008, but you have to remember in 2011, before the beginning of QE3, so-called QE to infinity, because that program could be restarted any day now. There was a fairly substantial correction, a summer correction, in the U.S. equity markets that nobody really remembers because it was over so quickly.
So quickly, because we're almost out of time. If do you think that the next time you and I talk, if we wait for an FOMC meeting, we will be saying, okay, it's happened, it's on us, it's right now, or does the game get rained somehow between now and then?
I think they're not going to want to do it during the summer. I think really you're talking the September meeting and the first one, and, you know, as a possibility. And then I think, you know, they'll have to. They gave themselves a lot of caveats in their conference yesterday when Janet Yellen spoke, that, you know, they're going to really see what the situation may bring. The other thing that could be a danger is really if we have an oil crisis and that starts to shoot oil prices up.
Well, we will have to save that talk for another time. Not that we're leaving this on a cheery message, but unfortunately we're out of time. But Doug, thanks so much for taking time out on what I know was a hugely busy day for you, because everybody wants to talk to you about the Fed. I look forward to chatting with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Always a pleasure, Chuck, to speak with you as well.
Doug Roberts is Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. It's channelcapitalresearch.com. You can learn more about his book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success, at that website and much more. And follow him on Twitter. He's at Doug S. Roberts. All right, we've just hit the halfway pole on the June 18th edition of Money Life. Up next, Senior Focus with Bob Powell. Stick around. We'll be right back.